Welcome to our annual meeting. This is a special time when we celebrate the Lord's work amongst us. And I want to start by reading from the book of Daniel. In our Sunday school class, turn to Daniel chapter 6. In our Sunday school class, we've been studying Daniel the last couple of weeks, and we're always amazed at Daniel, the man, but more importantly, we're amazed at his God. Daniel was a man who let his light shine, as we've been teaching in the Sunday morning service. And he did it, never did it more than when in the lion's den. And this is the chapter on the lion's den. And what I want to read to you is the result of that, where Darius, the king, is forced to give honor to God. Here's a pagan king, but because of what Daniel did, and because of what Daniel did in giving praise and glory to his God, the king was forced to do that. And it went beyond just words. It went out through all the kingdom. Look at verse 25. And why don't we stand together for the reading of his word. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus of Persia. Let's bow in prayer and let's give praise to the Lord God. And I would hope that and pray that as we do that, that people around us would praise our God as well, just like in the case of Daniel. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the testimony of Daniel. Not only in the lion's den, but throughout his long life, where he never failed to stand for the truth, never failed to stand for his God. And Father, we thank you for that example to us, and I just pray tonight that as we celebrate your work amongst us, that we will give honor and glory to you throughout this meeting. Lord, we praise your holy name for the work that you've accomplished in your church here. We praise your holy name for what you've accomplished in each one of our lives. And would ask for your blessing upon our meeting as we continue. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To start our meeting, one of the things that we've done the last several years is we have a video that celebrates our year and all the different ministries, and I'm not going to say any more about it other than that, and give some credit to Andrew Hale, who put this together for us. And so let's have the video. And I'm going to give you just a brief financial report. Our fiscal year began in October, and once again I can just say as a summary statement that the Lord has been really gracious to us as a church through your faithful giving and his faithfulness to each one of you as well. So let me give you just a few charts here. These are the numbers for the first 3 months. As I said, our fiscal year begins in October 1st, goes through September 30th. And so you can see that we're on schedule. The actual income is a little bit over the budget. We're right on track, and that's just amazing. It's been that way for the last couple of years, several years, because the Lord has really provided, even in a downtime. As I said last year, the Lord doesn't have any depressions. He can provide even during these times, and that's just a great testimony to our great God. Our expenses are about $66,000 less than our budget at this point. I don't get real excited about that because that kind of flows back and forth a little bit. But as long as we're under, I'm real happy. So, okay. These are the funds. These are all the funds of the church. And we have, our budget for the year is about $2.4 million, just so you know the big number. And so you can see that our reserve in the general fund there is about $630,000, which is good. That's a good number. Our building fund, we don't show actually what's coming in. I'll show you the next chart, shows you a little bit of that. But in our building fund, the elders decided that each month, the monies that are brought in for the building fund, we won't accumulate those like we have in the past. But in the last several months, each month we take that and we apply it to our principal. So we're bringing that principal down each month. And so you can see the monies that are there will soon be gone at the end of the month. So in fact, those are probably already gone. So, because this is December 31st. Okay, and this is a summary of our children's building. One of the things that we're working on is to get our building paid off. And we're making great progress in doing that. You can see that the cost of the building, about $5.3 million. When we made contributions to that during the time we were building, of about $3 million. And so we took out a loan of about $2.2 million. And to this point, we've paid almost $700,000 down, almost a third of it. And so we are, our balance right now is $1.5 million. And we're real anxious. We'll keep working on that over the next several months. Maybe next month it'll all be paid off. What do you think? That would be great. So that's our financial report.
And that's not something that this church has had to face in recent days. And we are exceedingly grateful for your faithfulness. We're grateful for every person that God brings in these doors. And we recognize that with that, as leaders, we have a responsibility to appropriately shepherd and accomplish those things that would please God. And as he provides these resources, just know that we don't take that lightly either as leaders. We understand that there's tremendous responsibility with that, to use those resources in a way that would honor the Lord. And that is certainly what we desire. But tonight, would you join me in just thanking the Lord for his kindness to us? Heavenly Father, even as we reflect on the reports that Dwight has just shared with us, we bow before you, recognizing that even as your word says, that you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we are just so grateful for the abundance that you've blessed this church with. Lord, we're grateful that through those resources, you've allowed us to build this children's building. And as we've watched this past year to see all that takes place there, we're grateful for the spiritual benefit that has been in the life of this church and this community. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the resources that you've provided to continue the process to pay that building off. And it's our desire to use every dime, every dollar that comes in such a way that you would be well pleased. Lord, I think of the monthly gifts that are given to benevolence and the many, many people you've allowed us to reach out to and encourage and assist in some of the most difficult times of their lives. And Lord, just what a blessing it is to be a part of the ministries here and to see how you've provided and then to see how those resources are used for your glory. We bow before you because we thank you and we exalt your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Well, it's already been very encouraging, hasn't it, to see all that the Lord is doing and has done here. And it's my joy to take you yet one step further. As I was looking through all of this and preparing for tonight, I was just struck again with how amazing it is that God's plan, inspired in Ephesians chapter 4, how the church is to work, is exactly how it works. You know, it's been an interesting year. If you think about the year in terms of the stories that were in the headlines back in 2011, obviously you had the Arab Spring, you had the earthquake and tsunami over in Japan, the wildfires here in Texas. You had the Occupy movements in various places around the world, royal weddings, horrific tornadoes and the destruction in both the southeast and up in Joplin, Missouri. And, of course, the big newspaper headline with the death of Osama bin Laden. A lot of things have happened in the secular world. And God is in charge of all those things, as you guys are learning in Daniel. God is over every event in human history. But what we have to remind ourselves is that those things are not the most important things to God. What matters most to God, what He is about in the world, is building a bride for His Son, because that's His heart. He promised His Son to give Him a redeemed humanity so that they would worship Him and praise Him forever, and that's what He's doing. God is obviously all-knowing. He knows all that happens, but His focus is right here and on other like churches where He is worshiped and His Son is exalted. So it's really exciting to me to think that's what we're involved in. That's what we're participating in. We're participating in God's sovereign divine plan to redeem a bride for His Son. Well, with that in mind, we just try to do it according to the plan. The plan in Ephesians 4 begins with gifted men God gives to the church. Gifted men that He gives and through whom He exercises His leadership in the church. And I am greatly privileged to serve alongside some wonderful elders in this church. Many of you sit under their ministry week in and week out, whether it's in the Sunday school classes or the home fellowships, and you are very much encouraged. Those of you who are newer to the church, who haven't yet had opportunity to meet all of these men, note these faces. This presentation will be available on the internet. You can note them and you can recognize their faces around here. Introduce yourself, get to know them. It's through these men that God has seen fit to direct the life of this church, and I'm so grateful for the partnership we enjoy, and as Rocky prayed, the unity we enjoy, as Charlie mentioned as well. So it's a great gift to us and to our church. As well, God has given another office to His church, and that's deacons. And we are rich in wonderful men to serve in that capacity as well. And again, those of you who've been around, you recognize and know all of these men. Those of you who are newer, I would encourage you to get to know them. And they all provide leadership at some level in serving in the church. And so it's a joy to acknowledge their service as well as the gifting God has given them. As well, day to day, God has given us a great staff. And that staff has grown some over the last couple of years. And we're excited about what the Lord has done. We couldn't get them all on one slide. So here are those who serve in various roles. And we welcome Stephen Francis this year, who joined us to oversee all of the electronic side of the ministry, all the stuff that happens here as well as through the week. We're grateful for that. And here are some other of our staff as well who serve in various ways. And we're so grateful for the people God has brought to our church. From there, I want to move on to our just a general overview of some of the things that are happening in ministry. And of course, you know, for me, that begins with what happens here and our worship in the Word. You saw some of the folks God has blessed us with through the process of the year. We anticipate that again in the coming year as we look forward to the Essentials Conference and some other surprises that I won't tell you about now, but that are coming just in the near future. But just to look back in 2011 and Sunday morning, we started the year by looking at the great priority, loving our God with all of our heart, and study that passage over several weeks. We finished up Ephesians 6 and the book of Ephesians, a little over a three-year study of that great book. And then I went from there into a couple of special series, which I think really helped shape my own thinking even more, and hopefully yours as well. Five hallmarks of a biblical church, lies Christians believe, through the summertime, and then with the fall, we began the Sermon on the Mount. Sunday evening, Mark chapters 10 through 12, and during the summer, Bible study for every Christian, just looking at how it is that you and I are to study the Word. As we anticipate, that should say 2012, as we anticipate this year, on Sunday morning, we're going to continue, obviously, our study in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm already well ahead of you. I think I've probably read it dozens of times, and my mind is already gearing into all that we have in store for us. It's going to be a rich study in the months ahead. I also have a couple of special series in mind as well that through the year I'll interrupt our study to insert, and so I look forward to that. Another thing I want to do that I didn't do last year, a couple of our guest speakers did, Rocky did, but I want to continue to do as well, and that is to give you some book overviews. We take a lot of time working our way through in detail a passage of Scripture, but I also want to give you the big picture. So sprinkled throughout the year, I want us to be exposed to the entire flow of the thought of a particular book as we look throughout the year. So in a single message, sort of a jet tour of a given book of Scripture. And I hope to do that and look forward to doing that with you as well. Sunday evening, we obviously will continue our study in Mark and the last 4 days of our Lord's life. We're in Tuesday, and we're looking to see the amazing things that transpire in the chapters that remain in Mark's gospel. Just to give you a snapshot of our both worship attendance and average, you don't need to read all the specific numbers. I just want you to see generally the trend lines are very encouraging. The first chart is our weekly worship attendance on average. And back in 2004, 2005, it was a little over 500, about 520 or so. And now you can see that it's grown to this this last year, the average was running close to 900 in terms of those who were attending week in and week out. And we, of course, have Sundays when it's a little lower than that, Sundays when it's a little higher than that. But that's the weekly average. The bottom chart gives you a picture of our weekly contributions. You can see that along with the growth in the numbers attending, God's people are generous. You are generous. Thank you for your faithfulness to give. You can see that the average weekly contributions has grown from 2004, 2005, about $23,000 a week up to over $45,000 a week. So we thank God again for His faithfulness in providing for this church. As far as those involved on Sunday morning, I mentioned the worship service attendance. And let me add another layer to that, Sunday school as well. So here you can see the adult ministries. This is not children now. These are the adults in Sunday school, first hour and second hour. You can see that we're averaging about a little over 100 in first hour, about 170 in second hour, or close to 300 in our adult Sunday school during this last year. And you can see the worship attendance there as well, both in the sanctuary second hour and in overflow. That overflow number of 73 is actually a little low. That through the end of the year began to bump up some, and so it's actually closer, I think, to 95 at this point in terms of the overflow attendance on average. Again, it ebbs and flows. And you can see the maximum attendance there as well in terms of just a snapshot of adult ministries. There are a lot of ministries that happen only once a year, and those happened again this past year. You saw some of them captured in the video, camps and trips, the missions trips for both the high school and the college, vacation Bible school, countryside fair, Thanksgatherings, our Operation Christmas Child, which is a major emphasis of our church to reach out around the world, Crown Ministries, which is a way for us to care for people in our church who are going through difficult times in the Christmas season. And then our Christmas concerts give us a great way to reach out into the lives of people in the community with the gospel. We're grateful for those. There were also a number of special events in this last year. You saw the women's retreat with Martha Peace back in March, the men's breakfasts a number of months through the year, our Parenting for Christ series to help equip parents, our children's choir spring musical, Supper 6 plus 2, the picnic that we had back in May. And then in August, our all-church skate night, ministry fair, as well as our all-church fiesta and concert with This Hope, whom you heard in the video. our men's retreat in September with Byron Yon, and then men participated, a number of you men participated in our exegesis series in September, October, and November, both learning how to study a passage and exegete it as well as how to teach it, and it's been good fruit from that. I'm grateful for that time, along with, of course, our sports ministries along the way. Just to give you a little idea of the children's ministry, we talk about the children's building. We talk about the ministry that happens there. But for those of you who don't have children involved in that ministry, you really don't have a glimpse of what's happening. It's truly amazing. And this is just a snapshot. I'm including some numbers, not because numbers matter, but I want those of you who aren't exposed to get a glimpse of the scope and magnitude. On our Sunday morning Sunday school for children, we average 275 children with 100 adults serving in that ministry regularly. On Sunday evening, our Awana ministry, right now as we meet here, some 200 kids on average would be down in our Awana, 30 to 40 in nursery classes, and 100 volunteers from our church serving in that ministry right now as we meet here. On Wednesday night, our children's choirs, we average about 100 kids in the children's choirs each week, 30 to 40 in nursery classes, and 25 adults helping serve in that ministry week in and week out. Moving from our children's ministry to our youth ministries, both our junior high and our high school, cross culture and cross training, they've had a number of events over this last year. You saw the Tennessee Mission Vacation Bible School trip. Also, the Feed Our Kids the Truth ministry here locally, where they reach out to apartment complexes where the kids are latchkey kids, particularly during spring break, and they go and serve them food and then also reach into their lives and try to minister to them in that setting as well. In August, our children's basketball camp, we had great participation not only from kids in our church, but from others as well. In December, high school winter trip to Disney World. As far as what's ahead for this year in our youth ministry, obviously, we look forward to Feed Our Kids the Truth again this spring, as well as a backyard Bible club. And then in July, Mexico Pastors Conference, not in Mexico, but some pastors and their wives will come stateside for a two-day conference, and our kids will have a chance to serve and minister in that way. And then in August, children's basketball camp. Yet again, our college ministry, the Roots Ministry, has, in addition to serving the kids who are here, who are a part of our church, have had some great outreach opportunities this year on the college campuses in the area. Down at UTA, they've had several events. You can see them here documented, passed out information, talked to kids one-on-one, both our leaders as well as the kids from the college group did that. And then Dusty had the chance to be involved in the kickoff for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and to preach the gospel to about 300 students down at UTA, and then all of our folks got a chance to interact with them, with the kids as well. At UTA, at UNT, and DBU, there were fall semester kickoff events in which our kids had a chance to have a way to reach out into these kids' lives and gave out 600 bags that not only included information about the church, but even more importantly, the gospel. So we're grateful for those conversations and those ways that we're reaching out in the community. Not this past year, I think, but it was the year before, we began a ministry called 128, based on Colossians 1:28, that we proclaim Him until we present every man perfect in Him. It's a ministry to singles, ages 23 to 39. The leaders of that are Chaz and Patty Morse, and weekly, on Tuesday morning, they have breakfast and Bible study for the men involved. On Wednesday evening, they all gather for Bible study and meal and fellowship. And then on the fourth Sunday, they have lunch at the Morse's home. And, of course, various activities, outreach ministry, service projects, fun fellowships, and Bible conferences and other activities. It's really been a great ministry to our singles. In addition to our young marrieds, we have a ministry called the Foundations Ministry, Young Marrieds and Young Families. Jonathan Anderson leads that up. And they meet on Wednesday night. They have about 50 or so young marrieds and young folks involved and young families come out for that. They have a meal, a Bible study lesson, and then a small group discussions as well as some various fellowship activities. That's ongoing ministry each week in our church. New this past year was another ministry for singles called Single Minded. It's a ministry to singles who are about 40 plus, and it's a home fellowship group. They meet in Keller on home fellowship Wednesdays. This is taught by Ken Sarles. It's a great chance for these folks to get together. They have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've heard great feedback. They have a monthly fellowship lunch after church and various other fellowship events, but I think that's been a great ministry for them. In addition, we have another more age-specific group, our Heritage Fellowship, which is a ministry to seniors 60-plus, and Dwight and Nancy Custis lead that. Have some, I don't know if this is your label or not, but junior partners who join with them, Sabre Hunter and Jamie Devers, and they have activities and ministries. They've done some great things in ministry for on all of our behalf. You remember the outreach to the soldiers and other things as well, so we're grateful for them and their ministry. You heard about the home fellowships in the video, but I just wanted to quantify that a little bit for you. The curriculum is Galatians, as you saw, and as he has done now for a number of years. Rich Dewey has helped pull that together, has pulled it together. He and Rocky have worked together on that project. There are about 16 groups now that are meeting as home fellowships in 11 different communities in two languages, both English and Spanish. And about right at 400 people are involved or have been involved in the home fellowships, and it averages about 200 every time we have our home fellowships meet. So it's been a great way for people to get to know each other on a more personal level and pray for one another and hold each other up. And I'm not going to leave these up here very long. You can look at this presentation later. But if you're not involved, these home fellowships meet in communities across the Metroplex. And I would encourage you to consider getting involved. Now, I want to transition from that to missions. And I'm excited about some things that have happened in missions and are happening in missions for you to know about. This past year, it was our joy, the elders with the direction of the Missions Committee, joyfully appointed as our new CBC missionaries, Cornelius and Angelique Gray. They're headed to North Africa as well. We were delighted to host Sammy and Nicole Williams. He preached for me on a Sunday night. He was here. He and his wife were here and family during VBS and served in a great way, working with a seminary over in India. I've already, by the way, scheduled this year in May. It's my hope and desire to go to South Africa. I'm going to be speaking in three pastors' conferences spread around South Africa, two of them in large cities, one of them out near the bush, so the bush pastors can come. And in 2 weeks that I'm gone, I'll be speaking, I think it's some 21 times. So you can pray about that. I'm looking forward to that. But the following year, in 2013, I'm already scheduled to be over for a conference in India with the Williams, and I'm looking forward to being over there. So we're thrilled about that. And of course, it was our joy and delight to have Doug and Michelle and their family here now on their furlough, but now they have returned to the field, and you pray for them as they really reestablish there in these months. Also, we were delighted at the end of the year to have a send-off for Mark and Katie as they have begun their ministry in the Middle East, and we've given you the details about that. I won't do that here in a public meeting in a service that's being streamed, but you continue to pray for them in their ministry. Also, Rhonda, it was just recently that she completed her furlough within the last week and returned to the field. And so you pray for her as she serves there in northern India. Also, Rich and Paula Barnes, we had a chance to have them here and visiting with us, our missionaries to England, and you continue to pray for them. A couple of things that happened this last year in missions in terms of some additional ways we can serve and improve our service to our missionaries is we formed under the leadership of the Missions Committee They formed and developed care groups for all of our missionaries, and many of you are involved in those care groups, specifically caring for individual missionaries. And as well, we expanded the prayer teams that pray for these folks. So it just gives us all a little more personal involvement. And if you have questions about that, you can certainly contact the missions committee or give us a call here. But we're excited about that. Also, there was a mission leadership team formed to handle the administrative responsibilities, to sort of separate the administrative side from the real ministry in their lives and in the missionaries' lives and praying for them. And so I think we have a great way to handle all of those activities. And I'm really excited about the fact that our missions budget for 2012 has been increased by right at 22%. As the Lord has blessed this church, we want to continue to see that money go to the expansion of the gospel, both here in our own country as well as internationally, and to meet the needs of our missionaries and to continue to support those God raises up from among us. We want to make sure that we have the resources to care for them, and the Lord has been good in that way. A couple other things about missions. Our short-term missions trips this past year, we had one in March to Kenya with the names you see there, again in June to Kenya, and then to China and to South Africa. And so we're excited about how the Lord used these folks from our church and in all of those ways, and encourage you to think about, pray about that as the opportunities arise. It's a great way to serve the Lord. And you'll be more encouraged than you can imagine as well. One other international ministry slide to mention to you, and just some special projects, some things that we did over this year. These things happen. You don't always hear about them, but we want you to know that these are some things that happened this past year in missions. We sent library materials to onboard ministries, seminary there in Kenya, Bible study materials to Bridgeport Women's Prison. One of our members has a wonderful ministry there. We were able to provide those. We provided a means of transportation for Pastor Kurgat there in India, excuse me, in Kenya, and thrilled to do that because he served so faithfully. Funds for an access road land purchase, Bible shipped to Tunisia, distributed by Christar, a one-time gift to Brad King's ministry at Oklahoma State University, a conference scholarship for a family in the Barnes Church to serve them. We provided teaching software to Doug before he returned so that he'll have that. 100 Christmas gift bags distributed by the Gibsons to children in Mexico. So these are just samples, really, of some of the things that go on an ongoing basis through the life of the church. Another ministry that isn't international, but it is international, it's just local, and that is our international friends at Countryside. It was started back in September of 2009. The purpose was to reach internationals in our area, and it's really amazing to see what the Lord has done. Right now, there are 6 English classes by various levels, as well as a number of electives, as you can see there. They meet on Thursday mornings and basically mirror the public school calendar. There are 115 students registered this year, 30 staff who serve there, and we average about 50 who come and have a chance to learn. And so it's great, and they bring 25 children that we care for as well on average. So it's just been a great ministry. Just to give you some idea of what happens there, the gospel is shared consistently. There's an elective Bible class that Rocky and Dusty team teach, and they're studying through the Gospel of John. About 6 to 8 of those students who come to learn English are a part of that Bible study class on an ongoing basis. 2 made a profession of faith last spring, and we're excited about the Lord reaching out in that way. The children also, of course, are exposed to the truth of our God and all that He's accomplished. And now, because there are those who want to come to our church, and we've started an Ambassadors Fellowship class on Sunday morning. It's an ESL-friendly Sunday school class developed as a companion to that. And Milt Powell is teaching through the Gospel of John. About 5 to 6 internationals are attending. And so that goes on again every week. Truly amazing to see how the Lord has allowed us to reach out in that way. This, by the way, is just a snapshot of where all those folks who are registered come from. It's literally all over the world. And as Daryl Bennett likes to say, God has brought the world to us, and we just need to figure out how to reach them even right here. And by God's goodness, while it's not all we want to do, it's really an amazing ministry the Lord has created, and we're so grateful for those who serve in that ministry. Another local ministry outreach is through the Grace Medical Clinic that's just over here in Grapevine. And we staff that community health clinic one Thursday evening each month. A number of you participate. There are doctors in our churches, nurses, pharmacists, translators, clerical, and they get the joy of, as those folks are waiting to be cared for physically, being able to reach out to them spiritually as well. So it's a great ministry to those folks who otherwise would not be able to afford the health care that they need, and to serve them on behalf of Christ. You saw a snapshot at one point of the video ministry, and particularly the streaming, but the video ministry has several arms. On-campus overflow, I mentioned to you that average number has actually gone up some each week. Close to 100 people on average are in the second hour overflow to make a little extra room here in the worship center. I know second hour, some of you who attend don't feel like you have a lot of extra room, but imagine what it would be if 100 people weren't in overflow and were here instead. But that's an encouragement. But it also goes out beyond our campus via the website. Through the live streaming of our services, you can see the weekly viewers there. On average, close to 200 people join us and worship with us via the live streaming every week. And you can see the other information there. I was fascinated by the fact that it's not just Dallas. It's not just people who are home sick who couldn't come to our church that week. There are, on average, in a month's time, 40 different metro areas who are streaming the services from our church. And on average, 7 countries. I don't know how that happens, but it does. It's an amazing thing. I am always excited about our benevolence ministry. This past year, you gave $77,000 in contributions toward benevolence, and we gave out $81,000. That's because we maintain a little bit of a cushion in that account. And here are some overview of how it went out to our own congregation, right at $31,000 to 49 different families who were going through trouble. What we typically do is, if they're without work or unable to meet their needs in some way, financial or medical or otherwise, then we pay a bill that they would not otherwise be able to pay on their behalf, that frees them up then to use the resources they do have to help in other ways. And so that's a great way that we serve one another. That's how the body's supposed to work. But you don't see that week in and week out. I just want you to be encouraged that that happens. Outside of our church family, $50,000 to more than 50 recipients. And you can see how that money was distributed. $25,000 of it went in your generous giving to the Japan tsunami relief through the Children's Hunger Fund. And we were able to contact several conservative Bible-believing churches there that are actually connected to the Master's Seminary, and to see those funds distributed through them there in Japan to those folks that were needy. We also gave $9,000 to the Bastrop Bible Church because they had 9 families who lost their homes in the fire. And we just said, we want you to distribute this and give each of them a little cushion as they're trying to decide what are they going to do, you know, how are they going to meet the needs that are coming at them. So it was just a way we could serve them. You can see to the Youth Village, McFadden Ranch, through Ernie, as well as a little bit of tornado relief in the southeast U.S. We contacted a church there that had some needs, not major needs, but some needs, and we were able to serve them. And in addition to that, we're excited about the fact of helping a ministry called His Steps Ministry, based in Georgia, that has served some folks in our church, and it is a rare find. It is a truly biblical substance abuse center. And so it has helped a number of people. And we're grateful as a church to be able to provide some help for them as they serve not only our church but other churches where those problems arise, because it's very hard to find one that's not going to create more damage than the problems they solve. Just a snapshot of women's ministry. I won't go through this, but you can see the big headings there in terms of the ministries that have taken place through women's ministry. And I know they have many similar events scheduled for this year, and you ladies will benefit from that. The same thing with our men's ministry. And you can see coming up, there are a couple of things scheduled coming up this year. A breakfast on March 23rd with Smedley Yates. A wee night on April 17th. And then our retreat in October. Brian Murphy will be here with us, and we look forward to his ministry. I've spoken in his church, of course, long-time connection with Rocky and his ministry. So we look forward to having him with us. Just a couple of miscellaneous things as we finish up our time together. We've made some improvements to the audiovisual ministry. In addition to Stephen coming on board, we've relocated the video from that tiny little pinhole room back here in the cry room up to what was our old prayer room upstairs. And so we've been able to outfit that to make it really workable. And we hope in the near future to see a complete website redesign come online that will make life simpler for you as you register for various events and so forth. Just one other thing, some facility things. You've seen this and noticed it, but this last year we were able to provide extensive campus signage so people could find their way around. Did some painting, which you can see. I know you ladies are grateful for the improvements in the restroom up here in this building. It doesn't look like, 1950s East Berlin anymore. And so we're grateful for that. Also, some carpet, scoreboard and shades in the gym, some parking lot help, and some other things. We're grateful for the ongoing upkeep of this campus. You know, all of that, though, really comes back. As I thought about all of these things, my mind really came back to what we're studying together on Sunday morning. It's all about the church serving as the church is supposed to, one another, and then serving others as well. And when that happens, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Anything good that has happened in this place over this last year, God alone gets the glory and credit for. And we give Him that even as we think about all that He has accomplished. At the same time that we give God glory, He has told us to give honor to whom honor. And I want you to know that it is my greatest joy to serve alongside the fellow elders God has given us here. And I'm grateful each year for one of the elders who shoulders the responsibility of serving as our chairman. There's a lot of work involved with that that you don't see or know about. A lot of countless hours that go into that. And I'm so grateful. And this year, it's been my joy to serve alongside Dwight Custis in that role. And Dwight, I so much appreciate you and your partnership in ministry. And I know it's a labor of love on your behalf, but I'm just grateful for you. I just want you to know that. I have a little gift for you. I'd like you to come up here for a second. It's a verse from Isaiah 40. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And I know that's your heart. And so we just want to say thank you for your ministry, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And I also want to ask Daryl Bennett, who will be serving as the chairman of our elder board this year, to come and close our time in prayer, and then Seth will come and lead us in a closing song.
Dear Heavenly Father, how our hearts rejoice to see what you have done, and as it were, to raise our Ebenezer and say, "Hitherfore, you have brought us to this point." Lord, we do give you thanks for this past year and pray for your continued blessing in the year 2012. We just confess, Father, that if left to ourselves, it wouldn't take us long to go astray and run things awry. But pray that you would continue to bless. Father, we pray that you would keep us faithful to you, both as leaders and as individuals, members of the church, that keep our footsteps aright and keep us humbly walking with you and humbly serving you. Pray now for your blessings on all that has been done here at Countryside Bible Church today, that your Holy Spirit would take the teaching that has been done in all the different classrooms and from the pulpit today, and he would remind us of your truths and apply them to our lives, apply them to our hearts. Pray that you would bless us and guide us through this week, that we would indeed be your salt and your light in this world, that you would receive the honor and the glory and the praise. In Christ's name we pray, amen.